Lord, how we thank you and how we love you, how we bless you. Thank you just for being God, Lord, for who you are, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, Lord, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. Thank you for being Elohim, just the great creator, El Shaddai, the Almighty. Lord, we serve the true and living God, Lord, and we thank you. We're so grateful that you chose us and selected us, Lord, before the foundation of the world. So we bless you on this morning. We bless you for your word, Lord. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. Let it be that light unto our feet and a lamp unto our pathway, Lord. Just let it guide us, Lord. Let it lead us in a broken world, in a fallen world, in a dark, dying, and decaying world. We need your light. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I said Luke chapter 5. Yeah, one thing we were discussing at Bible study Wednesday night, we're in the book of Exodus, as you all know. Most of you know that's been coming out. And God was speaking to Moses and the people there, and God led them by day. He led them by a pillar, the pillar cloud. And at night, he led them by fire. So they knew that the presence of God was there. And so we were sitting in Bible study trying to figure out if we had a cloud that to follow the presence of God and the fire to presence to follow the presence of God, we would get it. We would follow it. Hebrews talks about how we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the heroes of faith. And they're probably saying, if I had the word, if I had the written word of God like you guys, if it was written down all the instructions on how to live, I would have no problem following it. So we're trying to tell them if we had the cloud and the fire, we would be convinced that God is God. They're trying to say, no, you got the word. You got it all written. We didn't have it written down. You got it written down. If we had the word like y'all had the word, we would follow it. So we realized that, hey, you know, we're all in this spiritual warfare. And whether we got the word or the fire or the cloud, it comes down to a personal decision to follow God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So here we are. Let me find a scripture in Luke. Luke 5 and 12. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Wow. The confidence and the humility to speak out and say, God, if you will, can make me clean. So as we're thinking about communion and what God has done for us, I want us to think about how we commune with God. I'm challenging us as this year ends. We should be fasting daily. We should be praying daily. We should be going through the Proverbs. We should be ministering to God first. We all should have ministered to God in worship and prayer and the word before we even got to church this morning. Amen. Let me say that again. Ivy, we good? All right. I'm just making my mic is on. All right. No, the time changed. You forget my mic? Okay, you got it. Okay. We should have been ministering to God this morning before we came to church. Worship, prayer, the word. At least 5 minutes. It's part of our communion with God. When we get the download from God and he tells us, he gives us instructions, then you come to church and it's confirmed through worship and through the word. Because God's already ministered to your heart because you've ministered to him first. It's a place of spiritual maturity. But that's the place we need to be as we finish out this year. All right, so here we go. Let's go back to Luke. Before we come back to Luke 5 and 12, let's look at Luke 4 and 40. Just one chapter back. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with various diseases brought them unto him, being Jesus, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. And we know it's not the laying on of hands, but it's just the authority and the power of Jesus Christ to heal. Verse 41, and the devils came out of many saying, and the devils came out of many crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. Isn't that something? What's the TV program? Are you smarter than a fifth grader, right? Are you smarter than the devil? Because the devils know. They believe, but they tremble. They're not committed, but they know. Be smarter than the devil. And he rebuked them and prevented them not to speak, for they knew he was the Christ. Somebody underline that. Oh, my gosh. It's the God we serve. People know he's the Christ, whether they commit to him or not. But they knew. Verse 42, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. Underline that. Sometimes you do have to get away. Sometimes you got to go to that desert place or that deserted place. And the people sought him. They still went after Jesus. Amen. The question we asked ourselves this morning, are we running to Jesus or are we running from Jesus? They sought him, they came unto him, and they restrained him, said, you need to stay with us. And we tell Jesus that we want him to stay with us except for Saturday night. I want you to hang out with me, Jesus, except for Friday night. I got something to do, and then we're going to hook up after that. They wanted Jesus to stay with them. We do when it's convenient for us. Verse 43, and he said unto them, somebody underline this, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. If you ever want to know why were you born, what's my purpose in life, this is your purpose, just like it was for Christ. As we said, your method might be different, but it's no question about what your purpose is. No, you don't have to be a pastor or a minister or a bishop or a priest. All you need to be is someone filled with the Holy Spirit of God and go share that on your job. Share it at the gym. Youngsters, share it at your school. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Now let's go to 5 and 12. So Jesus is out healing folks. Then he calls his disciples. And he's walking by, a leper sees Jesus. Now, you know, when you had leprosy, it was a bad thing because you had to be off to yourself. Let's take a quick review. Go to Leviticus 13, 45 and 30 and 45 and 46. Leviticus 13, 45. So you can see what type of condition this man was in who cried out to Jesus. Don't let your condition prevent you from crying out to Jesus. Amen. If you're there, say amen. 13:45, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be torn and his head shaved. Well, my head shaved. The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be torn and his head shaved, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and he shall cry, unclean, unclean. So you have to look like that and you have to cry, unclean, unclean, so no one touches you because you have leprosy, you have a condition. Look at verse 46. All the days, underline all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell, or he shall live, or he shall reside alone. Somebody say, have mercy. That alone, can you imagine? You have to be alone. Outside the camp shall his house be. You cannot fellowship with anyone because you have leprosy, because of your condition. Now let's go back to Luke. So you get just a little bit of background on that. So here is this man who's dwelling alone. Jesus, he fulfills the law. Some might say he breaks the rules. It just seemed like that, but he fulfilled the law. Everything that the commandments told us to do, Jesus was that. So he wasn't breaking the rules because he touched this guy. And you're not supposed to touch. You're not even supposed to come close to anyone with leprosy. Verse 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Men, don't be too proud, too selfish, or too prideful where you can't fall down and ask Jesus to make you clean. Man, we have an issue with that because we were taught we got to be tough. We have to be this. We have to be that. Totally contrary to what the word of God says. Look at verse 13. Thank you, Brother Tommy, for that one. Amen. And he put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus, now you got leprosy. You're not supposed to be touched. Jesus is not supposed to touch you. You're supposed to be saying, unclean, unclean. You off living by yourself. Jesus comes over and touches him. Said, I will. Jesus says, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Amen. Boy, that's a powerful guy. And he charged him to tell no one but go, because the custom was, if you read more Leviticus, you know you have to go and show yourself to the priest. But he said, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Don't be afraid to share your testimony to someone. Say, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Sometimes people don't get it. They don't get the word. But when you tell them that testimony, they understand, because no one can deny the power of a changed life. Now, you know how I used to be. You know how all that. But you can't deny that my life is changed by the power of God. Yes, I had leprosy, but you can't deny that it's gone. Yes, I might have lied, stolen, cheated, but you cannot deny that's not me anymore. Verse 15, but so much the more went a great fame abroad of him. Let the fame of Jesus, that's what we need to talk more of. Talk more about what God is doing and what God has done, and less about each other. Amen. And what so-and-so is doing and what so-and-so has done. Right. Let the fame of Jesus go abroad. Amen. That's worth talking about. Yes. Often too many times we major in the minors. And here's Jesus saying, if you would just glorify me, if I be lifted up, I draw men unto me. That's the fame that we need to talk about. And a great multitude came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. I love God for that. And it's just, sometimes I wonder, with all this going on, how could, I guess if your heart is hardened, you could see all this taking place. You could be in the midst of it and still miss it. You could be in the midst of a move of God and miss it. God could be moving all around, but you see everything else. He's healing people, leprosy, making them clean, casting out demons. And all you can see is fault finding and critical spirits. You could be right in the midst and miss it. Verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Sometimes you got to go into the wilderness. God will lead you into the wilderness. Remember, one of the first message I preached here was when you were on Moses and the children of Israel, they were on the edge of the wilderness. Sometimes you're on the edge of the wilderness. You don't know if you're in, you're out, you're coming, you're going, you're up, you're down. Sometimes you have no idea. I'm just on the edge of the wilderness. But right here, Jesus withdrew himself to the wilderness and to pray. So regardless if you're on the mountaintop or you're in the wilderness, you need to be praying. They say it's only two times to pray. When you feel like it and when you don't. It's only two times to pray. So here's Jesus in the midst of the wilderness. And I love this. Here we go to verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, underline certain day. When you're praying and you're fasting in the morning, ask God, is this the certain day? God, is this my day? Is this the day that you promised me? Is this the day of my healing? Is this the day of my deliverance? Is this the day that I share the gospel with someone who gets saved? Is this the day that my family members get saved? It's a certain day. God has a certain day. It's a particular day. And you have to be on your knees praying, staying close to God so you can see it. Otherwise, you will miss your certain day. It's the greatest tragedy within the church and outside the church that we're too busy in other stuff and we miss that certain day. And then we're upset with God because we think God don't move, but God's moving, but you're not close enough to see the move. And then God gets blamed for everything, but we're the ones that's out of position. Don't miss your certain day. It's a certain day that God has already set up for us. We could be in the midst of it right now and not even see it. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors. So those Pharisees, those were the ones that were plastic. Those were the haters. They were there. And those were doctors of the law. Those were the ones that were really smart. So you got the ones who are plastic, who are fake. You got the ones who are so intelligent that they're dumb. They know too much and know nothing at all. And then you have the ones that go through all the religious rituals, but they have no relationship with God at all. That's what he's teaching. That's who's there. All right. He's got a nice little crowd. Which were come out of every town of Galilee. And remember, Jesus in verse 4 and 43 said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. That was his mission. So here we are in verse 17, and Jesus is fulfilling his mission. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Underline that. When you get in your quiet time, especially on Sunday mornings, when we come here, pray that the power of God be here to heal somebody. That's why it's so important that we have our own quiet time as we minister to God and saying, God, I'm praying. As I was praying this morning, Lord, I'm begging you. As I was reading this and studying this, getting prepared, God, I'm praying the power of God is here to heal somebody this morning. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. That the only way that God can. I don't come here and just show up. I'm already prayed up and I'm coming, and you should too. And watch the power of God move in this place. Just like there, we have certain types. You have all kinds that come to church. Good, bad, or ugly, it doesn't matter. But if the power of God is there to heal, it breaks every yoke. We don't come here just to meet on Sundays. We come here for a purpose. Get geared up so we can go out and touch this dying world. But I love it how the Lord was present. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And here we go. And behold, verse 18, and behold, men, underline that, men, not the women, the men, brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, cerebral palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. So here's the men. All right, we see a man who's broken, who's hurt, who needs healing, and we don't laugh at him, we don't point at him, we don't make fun of him, we try and get him into the presence of the Lord. Amen. We don't talk about him, we don't put him down. Men, they went, and they're getting ready to go out of their way to get this man healed. Because if you're a man that's ever been built up and broken down and then built up by God, you know how that feels. And you want every man to experience that. That we don't have to be a slave to the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we can walk in the power of God. I want every man to experience that. The freedom that comes with Christ. So men, we go out of our way to build each other up. That's why it's important you come on the Sunday morning Sunday schools. Or when we have a conference, because we need to build each other up. We can't fool each other. We can't be like the Pharisees being fake and plastic and the doctors of the law that we know so much that we got this. Brothers, I need you more today than ever. We need each other today more than ever. Go out of your way to help me out. I'm going to go out of my way to help you out. But you got to want it. But these men went out of their way to help this brother out. They weren't soft. They weren't punks. They weren't sissies because they was helping their brother out. They were men going after the presence of God and the power of God to heal. Verse 18, and behold, men, real men, brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. He had cerebral palsy. He couldn't walk. He's crippled. He's all bent up in the bed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, because it was so many people. Amen. That they went up upon the housetop. Yeah. They went up on the roof with this brother in his bed. That's going an extra mile, man. Yeah. Hey, you know, I called him and he didn't answer. Okay, and? Oh, he didn't answer the phone. So did you do it? No, I just called once. Man, they went up on the roof. They couldn't get in the door, so they went to the roof and cut a hole in it. I'm getting this brother into church. I'm getting him into the presence of God. That's above and beyond. Man, we got to sacrifice something. Make the sacrifice for your wife. Well, I try. I'm trying. Well, man, are you going up on the roof and cutting holes in your house? Let me know what you're doing. You're not trying that hard. You could be trying a lot harder. Your wife, your kids, your family, you got to be going out of your way to get them into the presence of God, to be the man, to be the leader of the house that God's called you to be. Verse 19, they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. They went up upon the housetop and let down through the tiling with his couch or his bed in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, I love this. He said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Wait a minute. Jesus just told him, I'm God. He just told him, I'm God. I can tell you how to get your sins forgiven, but I can't tell you your sins are forgiven you. And look, and the Pharisees, they just confirmed it by the next line. Take me to the next line, Natalie. And when the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So Jesus made it clear. He said, I'm God. Your sins are forgiven. They said, wait a minute. You can't do that. Only person can forgive sins is God alone. So they confirmed it. Some people tell you Jesus never claimed to be God. This is it right here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because nobody can forgive sins alone but God. We can tell you how to go to God and ask for forgiveness of your sins, but I'm way out of line if I try and tell you your sins are forgiven. I'm way out of line. That's way above my pay grade. That's what you have to go after yourself. So the Pharisees confirmed it. And see how you can be in the middle of it. He's healing everybody. He's casting out demons. And then he heals and he forgives sins. And all you can think about is what he shouldn't be doing. And then look how Jesus confirms it again in verse 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, who is this one who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And then look at verse 22. Jesus confirms it again, in case you were wondering. But he knew their thoughts and answered, saying unto them, why reason you in your heart? Only person can read your thoughts in your heart is God. I don't know what you're thinking today, this morning. I don't know what's in your heart, but God does. So Jesus forgives sins and he read their heart and their thoughts right there, Manny. Proven time after time. I got this. Oh, I know you from the inside out. I created you. Love that. Underline that in 22, the whole verse. He perceived, he discerned their thoughts. And answering said, what reason you in your heart? See, because it's not really what was in their mind. Because you could be thinking something in your mind and your heart is totally different. Your heart is locked in with God and your mind just gets caught slipping like, whoa, where'd that come from? Somebody say amen. Amen. But when God looks at your heart, he knows that's not you. And then you cast down that imagination, that thought. But what these guys were thinking was actually what was in their heart. This is who they were at their core. This is who they were. Verse 23, whether it's easy to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk, but you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And he said unto the sick of palsy, man, get up, get your bed and go home. He sent him home. Get up, get your bed and go home. And Jesus wasn't playing around. People try and make him seem like he was all soft and fluffy and all that. He's like, no. You guys say what you want to say. I have power to forgive sins. Now you, get your bed. Get out of here. And right now he's all in. He's crippled. He's in a bed. And he just, and he goes. With his bed. Right, like we tell, as parents, we tell our kids, pick up after yourself. Don't leave your bed there. Get the bed and go home, too. Just leave your bed in the middle of the floor. What's wrong with you? Verse 25, and immediately he rose up. Somebody say obedience. Obedience. Mm. He didn't lay there saying, but what, you know, I've been like this for a long time. And then what is everybody going to think? And where do I go? And how do, what do people start talking about me when I go to church? They all going to know. He didn't get into that. He immediately got up. And took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house. He went home too. He didn't stop by here, stop by there. Jesus said, get your bed and go home. And that's what he did. He glorified God. Look at verse 26. They were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with reverence. That's not fear like scary, spooky. Ooh, it was reverence like, oh my gosh, who is this? Saying, we have seen strange things today. And we see miracles every day. If we just don't recognize it because we're so distracted. But what I want to do, if you look at verse, then if you go through 29 and look at, let's go all the way. Natalie, let's go all the way to verse 30. About 29, and Levi made him a great, then Jesus goes and feasts. And then Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of tax collectors, and tax collectors were the worst. You thought you had issues, you were above a tax collector, amen? I don't care what you did, you still 10 levels higher than a tax collector. So Jesus went to the worst of the worst and sat down with them. And here come the fake folk again, murmuring against the disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? So we take communion and say, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst of them. Somebody say amen. Thank God he still eats with sinners. Somebody say amen. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't discriminate against anyone. Matter of fact, as I said before, he was inclusive. He loves us so much, he takes us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us like that. Jesus excludes no one. We exclude ourselves by not choosing him. Let's go back, Natalie. Take us back to 5 and 26. And this is where I want us to go ahead. And brothers, come on up. Let's get ready to serve communion. And they were all amazed and glorified God. Sometimes you just got to take a glory break. Sometimes you just have to take a praise break and say, God, thank you for all that you're doing. So as we, let's use communion as a time of just saying, God, thank you. They just stopped what they were doing and said, oh my gosh, God, you are so great to heal, deliver, to set free. God, you're so great to die on the cross for our sins and shed your blood so that we could be free. Sometimes you just got to take one of those praise breaks and glorify God. So we're doing two things. We're in our hearts, we're thanking God as we prepare to take communion. Verse 17 at the end says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So as we're praying for communion, we're thanking God, we're forgiving those who have wronged us, but we're praying that the power of God is here to heal someone. God, we believe that just like then, the power of the Lord is here to heal as well. Heal us physically, Lord. Heal us emotionally, mentally, Lord. The scars, the broken hearts. Brothers, you can pass out. Thank you, brother. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heal your people. Heal our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We trust in your power this morning, Lord. I trust. Yes, Lord. We trust in your healing power. We believe, Lord. We believe. Yes, you are. Sing that as well. Join in. Yes, Lord. The power of the Lord is present to heal this morning. Thank you, Lord. As we commune with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're more than enough. Elevate that which represents his body. Oh, we thank you, Lord. His body that was broken for us. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He knew we'd have to deal with every issue and situation that we're dealing with today. The ups and downs of life. Natural disasters, unnatural disasters, plane crashes, terrorism, gangs, drugs, violence, success, failure, social media, plastic folks, those that are too intelligent for anything. He knew it would all be there. Our jobs, our boss. Being single, being married, he said, do this in remembrance of me that you never lose your perspective, that I'm coming back for you. And it's so much more to life than what you see. And for 2015 years, we've been remembering what Christ has done. And we thank you, Lord. Go on and eat that what represents his body. Yes, Lord, you are a healer. There's nothing impossible for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let that get into your spirit. There's nothing impossible. Is impossible. Come on, God. We believe, we believe, we believe. Heal us, Lord. Our broken hearts. Heal our emotions. Heal our spirit. Heal us physically, Lord. Yes, Lord, you hold our world in your hands. You hold my world in your hands. as we think about our family and our job and our friends and our church. We think about our infirmities. We think about our life, where we come from, where we are, and where we're going. Nothing's impossible. We think about what you did last night, Lord, what you're doing right now. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Nothing, nothing. Yes, you are. Elevate that which represents his blood. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you. The power of the Lord is present to heal. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We bless you. Jesus, you're all I need. Nothing, Lord. You told us, Lord, over 2,015 years ago. This is the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant. The sacrifice once and for all for our sins. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we recognize that you did this 2,015 years ago. America's only been here 238 years, Lord. We're talking 2,015 compared to 238. It's no comparison. God, thank you for allowing us to keep our life in perspective through the power and obedience of communion. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins, Lord, that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, tried to pretend didn't happen or tried to cover up. Forgive us of our sins. So you told the man at the pool of Bethesda, go and sin no more. You're forgiven, but cut it out. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can't work for it, but because we are saved, we can live for you. Thank you for dying on the cross and raising on that third day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink which represents his blood. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you would, stand to your feet. Board members, we need to have a very quick but very necessary meeting. We'll find somewhere to meet because I know Brandy's having the youth. But board members, we need to meet quickly. Take a few minutes, you know, get yourself together, and then we'll meet. Be very quick, but very necessary that we sit down and chat just for a few minutes. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for the healing that's taking place in our hearts, our souls, in our emotions, Lord, in our minds, in our bodies, Lord. And Lord, we know that all those that you healed, even in the Bible, the man who you told to go take up your bed and go home, that eventually he passed away. We know because of the fallen world we live in, all healing is temporary until we get into your presence. But we thank you for that temporary healing now, Lord. We'll take it, Lord. And we bless you, Lord. We know that you're great and greatly to be praised. Now, as we leave this place and not your presence, we thank you and we bless you. Till the next time we come together, Wednesday, Lord, keep us. So much happens in a day. Keep us, Lord. Cover us, protect us. Let us be light. Let us be salt. Let us be just like Jesus was. Go out and preach to all the cities. Whoever will listen, Lord, give us the opportunity to share the gospel with someone this week. The good news of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, resurrecting on that third day to rescue us, to save us, to free us, to be that bridge back to God. Oh, we're so grateful for that. Bless you for your people here, Lord. Let us walk in love. Let us walk in holiness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give somebody a hug and you are dismissed.